there, RiderFlex Nation. Steve Urban here with more career advice and job interviewing tips for you. And as a quick reminder, if you enjoy our podcast, please remember to subscribe to our channel and like the episodes. And on today's podcast, we have Keith Pepper joining us, the Vice President of People and Culture at Outbrain. Keith, thanks so much for calling in today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, Steve, thanks for having me on.
You bet. Tell the listeners a little about yourself, you know, kind of maybe some personal and professional.
Sure. Well, I've been at Outbrain now for 4 years, been in the people and culture role for the past little bit over a year. The way I got into the current role is I came up through the sales and client service side of the business. I'd run account management teams for some global companies, mostly in the data and research side of the internet world. This is my first time in the media or publishing side of the business directly, is working with Outbrain. But I had always been drawn, I think, to the recruiting and team building parts of the business. Since I had a background before I got into the internet world during the first dot-com boom and just after Y2K, so back in 2000. Before that, I had worked in the mental health field, and so it was a natural transition for me when the opening and Outbrain came around for where we needed a leader for the people in culture role. So I was lucky, I think, to have a co-founder and CEO who, Yaron Galai, who's created a culture at Outbrain that really pushes people to, you know, to go outside of their comfort zone and puts folks in roles, I think, that stretch what they may typically do. I think my story kind of aligned with that, with Yaron's vision for, for building out talent. And so that's how I ended up in the role that I'm in now. It's, you know, been certainly the most meaningful career-wise for me, but also in many ways, the most challenging.
And for the listeners that may not know, you know, what Outbrain does or who they are, can you kind of give us a kind of a company overview? I know they're a discovery platform company, but for the average listener, maybe tell them a little bit about Outbrain.
Sure. So Outbrain is a digital discovery company. We help publishers monetize and personalize their digital presence. So whether that means a website, a mobile app, mobile website. And so what that means in plain English is that we work with publishers like CNN, Condé Nast, and we help them, really keep the journalism side of their business alive through monetizing their pages and their visitors. And we do that by placing what are mostly known as native content recommendations in front of the right audience, hopefully at the right time on the right platform, to get them to engage with brands.
I see. So if I love camping and I'm always looking up camping stories for Colorado here where I live, Outbrain would be the company that if I read one article, they're going to have, hey, you the reader, you may also like this, and they'll have suggested links or suggested articles for other publications. Is that right?
Exactly. So based on what we know about you, what we know about people that have read, articles that you're reading that are similar to you, we're going to put other pieces of content, whether that's another article, whether it's a product page or a company blog, in front of you to help really deepen your discovery within that within that space and within that publisher.
Gotcha. You know, you guys do such a great job with the culture there. From everything that I've seen, you know, I visited the office, met with you. I watch all your social media, the way the website is built around people and culture. I mean, just really a great job. I mean, your title is VP of People and Culture, right? Like, that's how much it means to the company. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, how do you go about accomplishing that? What are the keys to driving such a successful, dynamic culture in a company?
Well, you're very kind, and thank you for the compliments. And we're trying all the time. And it's a journey to get to a point where we're able to have the culture and the ongoing place that we want it to be. But I think it's more than anything, it's driven these days by my peers and my colleagues, because, you know, we are, working in a, you know, at a time when unemployment for all intents and purposes is at zero, especially for the, right. you know, in the space that we're in and the cities that we're in.
Right.
So we operate, and you know that better than me, yes. in the recruiting space. yes. So, right. you know, but we operate in markets that are, you know, the most progressive, the most dynamic, that have full employment. And we recruit against companies like that are the most progressive, dynamic companies in the world. And we're trying to attract, progressive, dynamic, educated, employees. And so having that, you know, getting the culture to where we want it to be, is an ongoing process. We're driven mostly by, I think, the people that we employ that push us. We even have dogs in the office that push us to be better. They push us to be better. And that means to be more transparent. It means to be more communicative. It means to be more engaged in the communities that we operate in. So at Outbrain, we have an initiative called OB Good, which stands for Outbrain Good. And that is an employee-driven group started by employees, run by employees. We put some budget behind it to give, to allow the group to engage in the communities in meaningful ways. And so that means, you know, once a month on Mondays, we go and prepare a meal and serve the meal at a local men's shelter in the neighborhood where we are.
That's great.
It means that we did an employee sale of used technology, and we donate that money to causes that the team, decides are within the mission that we're looking to do for the year. So the culture that we're developing, and, you know, is always a work in progress, is really driven by the people that we employ. And we're lucky that it's supported by, the executives and even at the board level, where we're able to, you know, to really make it a piece of the business and a core piece of the business. It's something that we make sure that people are doing, you know, not just in their spare time, but they're taking the time out of, of their regular duties to, you know, to engage in those efforts.
It's really a nice job overall. And I don't know if people understand, you guys have offices, you know, all over the world, right? Which makes, you know, company culture even more challenging, because I'm guessing it's somewhat unique to each team or each office, at least to a certain degree, right? I'm guessing that. And you guys just do such a great job with that, all across.
Yeah, we're in 17 offices around in 12 countries around the world. And wow. OB Good started in New York, and now it's expanded to every office. So it's truly a global initiative. The teams, the local offices engage in their local communities, but we work together in a global effort to make sure that what we're doing is, is as organized as it can be, I guess.
Really good stuff. On this podcast, Keith, we like to, you know, we give out a lot of job interviewing tips and kind of career advice. I want to ask you a few questions around those topics. For a young person, let's say a young professional joining Outbrain that wants to move into the executive level someday, which not everybody does, but a lot of people, you know, have that aspiration. So for let's say a manager level or associate level, they want to move up, they want to be a VP someday. What advice would you give that person? Two or three things, you know, what would you tell them?
Well, I think I think that people, and, you know, my story is maybe a good parallel, that where I was able to get back to my roots of what I had, you know, even studied and had, you know, had worked on. I think it's about pursuing, you know, what you're naturally good at. I think, you know, earlier in my career, I may have forced things that weren't a great fit in certain ways. So I think one is just to be authentic, because the authentic you is going to be the one that's the most successful. So that would certainly be,
yes,
be one. The other is to really, is to do the jobs almost before you have the job or ask for the job. So it's, you know, it's really adding as much value into an organization as you can before it's a formal, you know, job description, for example. So, you know, just being as much of a team player as is possible. And, you know, the big part of that, I think, for me, is, you know, avoiding surprises to my team, that I manage, but also to, you know, equally important to the people that manage me, being as communicative as possible. And, that now translates into being transparent. So, just avoiding surprises, doing all the intangibles, and following your authentic, interests and what you're going to be passionate about, I think is a good combination.
Really good advice there. What about one or two tips for somebody that just landed the job? Their first time at the C level or their first time at the VP level. It's their first 30 days. Any key advice for that person?
Yeah. I mean, probably going to be somewhat cliche, but I think listen more than you talk for the first few weeks, take it in. A lot of VP level folks, rightly so, are tasked with making changes. And I think that's critically important to bring in fresh perspectives, into an organization. But you also want to be respectful of the culture that's there. Really listen to the folks and make sure that you're winning their trust before just coming in and wholesale making changes. Mm-hmm. I think that the culture, the workforce these days has grew up in a time when corporations, made wholesale layoffs and did things that they may have seen their parents go through, experiences that left bad tastes in their mouth. And so they're demanding different types of leadership these days. And so I would say for those folks that are in VP or senior level management roles, really have to listen and build trust. Mm-hmm. But also not, that doesn't mean you have to be afraid to make changes. Change right. has to happen at organizations, and there's nothing more detrimental than being afraid to make those changes. But I do think there's, humane and measured ways to do that.
Mm-hmm. I love the advice there about listening, listen more and talk less. It was interesting. I was having a breakfast with a young CEO recently, and I'm somewhat of a mentor to him. And he asked me, he said, what can I do better? And I said, I don't want to mention his name on this podcast, but I just said, listen, I have one piece of advice for you. Listen more and talk less. So often those executives, they get in those positions and then they almost feel like they have to kind of justify why they're there and constantly go around convincing people as to why they're in that position. And that causes them to talk a lot when the reality is they need to listen more and listen to their teams. Great advice. You yourself.
Yeah, insecurity is never a good thing.
Right. Right. Yeah. You yourself, you've had a really nice career so far. Congratulations on what you've done. Are there some key contributing factors to your personal success so far when you kind of reflect back?
Well, I think the biggest is that I had a boss, someone that took a chance on me in 2000 and hired me off the, when I was switching careers, and became, was the most meaningful manager, mentor, and friend to this day. So I think, attach yourself to someone that's going to give you good advice, and going to really take an interest in you. So to me, that person, being a manager, mentor, friend, over the years has been something that's I think kept me, hopefully humble and, and headed in the right direction and making, for the most part, decent decisions.
What I hope the listeners are also hearing you say there is, be humble enough to understand you need mentors, right? You need these people in your life because they can help you, especially early on. What's Keith's, Super Bowl moment so far in life? If you had to pick a Super Bowl moment, a major accomplishment, so far professionally.
Well, I grew up as an Atlanta Falcons fan, so we don't have Super Bowl moments.
By the way, I noticed you went to school in Georgia, but I don't hear a Southern accent at all. I don't hear it in there. You must have been
I've been in New York. Been in New York long enough and have enough family from New York that don't have the accent. And it's been a rough go for Georgia in the last couple of years as well. But so we don't have Super Bowl moments down south. But I think it's making sure that you're having fun at work, I guess, is also just critically important. Life is short, and I think making sure that you are, the people that you work with, and you both have good colleagues that are inspiring you and pushing you to be better, but also that you're being that type of person and being, being a good colleague, owning, I guess, thinking back on that piece of, being authentic to yourself, I believe it's so important. I don't know that I've always practiced it, but I think as I get a little bit further along in my career and life, it's becoming, more clear to me. So, I think like letting your life shape you and owning that piece of it, gives you perspective. In my life, it's given me hopefully a sense of empathy, which allows me to be good at my job. And then, just the listening and just putting things into perspective, being an empathetic manager is critically important as well.
Gotcha. You've interviewed and hired lots of people, obviously, in your career. And we give out a lot of job interviewing tips on this podcast. Is there one or two favorite questions during the interview for any particular reason?
No, I don't have a formula or a script like that. I really follow trying to be conversational and trying to, really dig into the person's experience. I've had the luck, I'll say, of not working in a company that forces me to, go through those types of, we'll call them corporate interview things. And we also rely on recruiters, like you guys to do those types of screens. So I want to really dig in with a person and understand, what they're looking for in their next role. Sometimes with interviews, especially in my current role, when I'm meeting folks that maybe are further along in the process, is almost trying to, to dissuade them to make sure that it is the right fit for them. And they're coming in, understanding the expectations. So I'll say no formulaic questions, just really trying to connect with someone to make sure that they understand the role, and getting a good sense of the person that we're looking to hire as well.
Yeah. I'm guessing by the time a candidate makes it to your office, you're it's conversational and you're trying to make sure it's the right fit for them. Not necessarily a series of questions. Yep. Couldn't agree more. I see candidates stumble in interviews every day, of course, in my job, which is why our podcast was started to begin with, is because we'd see these mistakes made and we wanted to give back and help in some way. Are there some common mistakes or common missteps that you just see over and over from candidates that you would, you'd want to mention or give some tips on here?
I mean, the one that sticks out the most that's common, and I'm going to date myself, is I think the art of the thank you note has somehow disappeared.
Right.
I don't know if that's a commentary on the job market and that it's a candidate's market now, or if it's a comment on my age and my Southern upbringing, but that would definitely be one. And I think on the sales side, when we're when we're looking at sales folks, is just encouraging candidates there to just treat the interview process like you would treat a sales process.
Right.
So there's no better way to evaluate someone going into a sales role than to see how they manage, trying to sell themselves into that role.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting you bring up the thank you note. That's out of our over 100 job interview tips on our podcast. One of them is titled thank you notes, specifically because of what you just mentioned. I probably get I'm going to guess, well, I'm just kind of ballparking this. I'm going to guess 30% of the people we interview send a thank you note. And I'm like you, I'm constantly blown away by that. Like, well, there's no follow-up, there's no thank you note. Like, wow. Yeah, it really is.
I guess then maybe it's us. I mean, maybe the thank you note's just gone away.
I guess so. Maybe. I don't know. But it is, you know, yeah, but it's good to send one though, to help separate yourself from the pack. I think it's great advice. I could keep you on the phone for another hour and ask you a bunch of questions. I know our time is limited here. Can we, in wrapping up, one of my favorite, and I'm like you, by the way, I'm all about the conversational style interview. Once they make it to my chair, because the recruiters on the RyderFlex team do the, like you said, you know, they have the list of questions. By the time they hit the video interview round with me, I'm just trying to get to know who they are through conversation. But one of the questions I do usually ask is, I love this one because a mentor of mine asked me, and I've asked just about every guest that's come on the show this question. At this stage in your life now, professionally, not personally, but on a professional level, what's Keith's core purpose in life now? When he wakes up every day and gets dressed, what's the core purpose for him?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I don't think this is on your list of.
Did I not give you this list of this?
It was. Sorry, it was the last one. I didn't get that.
It's a tough one. Yeah, it's a.
Wow.
By the way, that's exactly how I responded when somebody hit me with the question the first time. I didn't answer it well, and I drove home and told my wife. She's like, "What's wrong with you?" And I said, "Well, I don't know what my core purpose is."
Yeah. I mean, my core purpose is to leave an impact, is to make sure that someone, you know, and ideally more than one person is impacted by either the work that I do or our personal relationship or my involvement in the community. So that to me is my core purpose.
Great. That's great. And you are making an impact, my friend. Trust me, as many companies as we've dealt with, you know, everything I've seen from Outbrain is super good stuff. The, you know, really culture driven. And you did a nice job, by the way, of complimenting your team and your colleagues right away when I brought that up, which also speaks to your leadership. So you are definitely impacting people, doing a great job. So, Keith, I really appreciate you being on the show, man. Thanks so much for calling in. I appreciate it. Hope to have a chance to go out to dinner and happy hour next time I'm in New York, for sure.
That sounds good. Let's wait for it to warm up a little.
Right? I know.
But yeah, Steve, thanks for the partnership, and thanks for having us on the podcast today.
You bet, buddy. Have a good day. Bye-bye. And folks, there is your RyderFlex tip of the day from Keith Pepper, the VP of People and Culture at the company Outbrain. So wonderful to have him on the show today. We truly hope you find our material helpful and entertaining. And while our podcast can be heard across most platforms, including iTunes, Google Play, YouTube, and SoundCloud, you can become a supporter of this podcast by visiting our show on the platform Anchor FM. That's anchor.fm/RyderFlex. You can also send your questions or suggested topics for future episodes to the email address podcast@RyderFlex.com or drop us a voicemail at 888-964-5876, extension 710. Visit RyderFlex.com to learn more about us. Thanks so much for listening, folks, and have a great day.